How are you doing today?
Hey, Drew, how's it going?
I'm good. Well, and I should definitely say this too, because you're a Pensacola native, so shout out to all the natives of Pensacola.
Yes, born and raised in the 850.
All right. So, athlete strategy lead, and you work with Market Price. Exactly. Some people might say, what the heck is an athlete strategy lead? What exactly do you do in regards to assisting athletes in name, image, and likeness?
Yeah, so I guess I can add a little bit of color to, you know, what Market Price is to begin with and, you know, kind of where I fit in. So Market Price is a two-sided marketplace for athletes and agents to connect with brands and close marketing deals in literally just a single click. And where I come into play as the athlete strategy lead is I work with all of our athletes across the platform. We almost have 2,000 athletes on the platform right now. To help them understand how to step into this marketing world, especially on the collegiate level. So I work with a lot of college athletes to understand kind of the ins and outs of the marketing side of NIL and to just help them, you know, maximize their full earning potential on, you know, an endorsement level with brands, with marketing deals, and that sort of thing.
Great. Well, and that's the crazy thing is how quickly this has kind of moved along. Of course, we get this introduction to NIL kind of on the fly. All of a sudden it's an open market and athletes can do whatever they want to and be able to profit off their name, image, and likeness. Now, the interesting part of this is, well, we've kind of seen over the course of this year, and I think it's been a learning curve for everybody, you know, the athletes, media, the people who enjoy college football, yourself with working with the athletes as well and everything. Is there anything that you've learned to be really good about things, and then other things that maybe you would change, or things that you're trying to overcome as a company or whatever to realize the best way to work with these athletes in a fair way?
Yeah, no, I think the biggest thing about just the whole space in general is that it is still so new. We're not even a year into the legislation being passed. So there is still a big learning curve for everyone involved with agents, with athletes, with the NCAA in general. So there's still a lot of gray area into what exactly this is even turning out to be. I think the coolest thing though in that perspective is that athletes have a lot of opportunity at their fingertips. And that's exactly what we're doing at Market Price, is walking them through, you know, what this whole business world is that they're stepping into. You know, in the past, obviously, this hasn't been a thing with athletes being able to profit off of their NIL. But now they have the, you know, the fortunate availability to work with any company that they want, any perspective that they want, and be creative while doing so. So that's what I really, you know, enjoy about my role now, is I get to work with these athletes and understand kind of that marketing side of the business and where they can jump into it.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And then, of course, with them creating this new video game, I grew up playing the video game. I'm looking forward to it. But that's kind of where this whole deal started with. I mean, as far as the Ed O'Bannon case and all of this, hey, I see my face on here and, you know, people can create rosters or whatever, and then I can benefit off my name. I mean, so if you look at the NCAA, and of course the big news that Mark Emmert is going to be stepping down as late as June of next year, the NCAA essentially has had 9 years now to try to learn as much as they can and figure this out. Is there, from your perspective, is there any blame particularly with a person, or do you think it's just the NCAA and maybe even the commissioners and the ADs of these schools that they haven't really figured out a way to understand name, image, and likeness and try to help the athletes as much as they can?
Yeah, no, I think there's not necessarily a single person to blame through all of this. Like I said, it is kind of, you know, a learning process throughout it all. What has been very interesting to see is the lack of preparedness from, you know, collegiate institutions as well for how to tackle this particular, you know, name, image, likeness. So even though the NCAA, I mean, we all like to crap on the NCAA from time to time, but, you know, I think they could do, you know, a better job of establishing those guidelines, establishing those kind of guardrails for athletes, because quite frankly, it's still the Wild West with NIL. You know, we've seen a lot of, you know, major deals come through, a lot of money being moved through sponsorships and endorsements to athletes. But I think there's still a lot to be set in stone, and the NCAA, I don't think, was prepared for that to pass just yet. And, you know, coming off of that, the collegiate institutions as well. You know, a lot of what we've seen, you know, unravel in the past few days, a lot of college players are wanting to enter the transfer portal to, you know, go to different institutions that offer them more NIL money. But quite frankly, a lot of institutions don't even know what that even means at this point. So, you know, what they can offer athletes, what they can do for athletes, because there is just so much red tape still as to what exactly can come together.
Yeah, and as you said, I mean, we're not even a year into this whole deal. One thing that's interesting is, and I'm looking at, or I saw this tweet by David Hale. He works with ESPN, and how NIL is kind of being misunderstood by a lot of people, and it's kind of the media's fault with how they've covered things. Of course, what we're seeing now is not necessarily name, image, and likeness. We're seeing people like John Ruiz, for example, with Miami, who says, you can come to Miami and I will pay you to benefit my company, but it's only at Miami, you know? So they're throwing in this spin to it that you have to go to this school in order to get this deal. Now, Quinn Ewers with Ohio State, his deal is apparently it's not just with Ohio State. He's able to keep his deal and go to Texas. That's where that is a name, image, and likeness deal. What is the pay for play? Black market pay for play is athletes are being compensated to play for the school. And you're seeing this fight now with Isaiah Wong with Miami, and all of a sudden he's like, hey, I'm going to threaten to transfer unless I get, and his agent wants him to get more NIL money, and that's not how I cut the deal. He's going to Miami to be a player. So now all of a sudden people, an umbrella is being thrown over everything, and it's called NIL, when it's really not name, image, and likeness. Is it, Ashley?
No, it's not. That's the thing, and, you know, that's what, you know, super important through all of this is this still is, you know, a learning process for everyone involved, but we kind of all suspected this was going to happen. It's kind of bizarre that's happening literally within 12 months of it being passed. But, you know, it's all been happening for decades that, you know, players have been getting paid under table to play at certain institutions. But, you know, now it's just encapsulated, like to your point, under this umbrella of NIL. But at its core, NIL is, you know, allowing players to profit off their name, image, likeness, as designated by the NCAA as of late, to profit off of those endorsement deals that are made with sponsorships, with partnerships. And that's, you know, what I think at its core, what NIL should be based off of. But obviously, you know, you have, you know, these players that and agents that are blowing it out and, you know, making the rules thin for them right now because there is no regulations in place. There are no rules in place by the NCAA. So that's where we're running into these issues that have, you know, sprung up over the past several days.
Yeah, so I had tweeted back to you my analogy with golf. I find this interesting. So with golf, prize money, obviously the money that they win is not nearly as much as they make in endorsements. Like Tiger Woods, for example, last year, I believe the number was he made $191,000. That's it in prize money, but he made $46 million in endorsement deals. Is it fair to say that for a college athlete, their pay for play essentially is a scholarship? But the NIL is the endorsement deals where they can make some serious money, as we've seen some of these guys do. But obviously, it's got to be done under the proper governance of the NCAA, and that's the importance of who this NCAA president is going to be.
Yeah, no, I agree completely, and I think you hit the nail on the head with saying, you know, kind of the scholarships serve as that, you know, kind of pay-to-play money, and then those endorsements are, you know, their opportunities are endless with collegiate athletes and, you know, endorsement deals. Obviously, when it comes to name, image, likeness, that does come down to, you know, sometimes how well you perform on the field, but it also can include, you know, your social influence and, you know, who you are digitally online. And that's something that I stress greatly to my athletes that I work with is, you know, being able to build your personal brand and who are you beyond being just an athlete. Because that's where those brand integrations are going to plug in organically. And that's where, you know, those marketing partnerships are going to come together based on who you are as an athlete. And that's where I think the real opportunity is for, you know, these collegiate athletes.
So you work with a lot of different athletes. Who have you worked with that maybe some people around here may know? Or just, I mean, is there a certain region that you're in? Are you looking to go based off of just maybe Florida, obviously being a graduate of the Florida Gators, or is there a certain niche that you have, or is it any athlete that wants to come? Do you get a pick of whoever it is, or do they get assigned to you, or how exactly does that work?
Yeah, so as of right now, you know, Market Price is a startup, so we've only been around for a little over a year. So I came in right as the NIL legislation passed, and what that means is not only was I working with the professional athletes that we already have on the platform, but I've also, you know, seen every college athlete that's come through. I have had direct contact with Nick walked them through the process of kind of just transitioning them into what this world is and, you know, what it means when it comes to marketing, what does, you know, all these different brand buzzwords that are being thrown at them from a brand perspective mean, and walking them through that. And then in terms of, you know, specific athletes, in terms of conferences, in terms of regions, we're across the country. So right now, you know, NIL is regulated for the one regulation that is in place for collegiate athletes that are in the state. So international transfers don't have access to that right now. So I haven't dealt with any overseas athletes just yet. But all of the players that I've dealt with, a lot of them being in the state.
Well, I think that is awesome. And again, speaking with Ashley Cummer, she works as a athlete strategy lead with Market Price. Ashley, a couple more questions for you. One being Florida Gators this year. So Anthony Richardson is probably the quarterback. Billy Napier is in as the head coach. A lot of people really like what he's doing. You mm-hmm. being an alum, I'm sure that you maybe have a lot of expectations for the team. If there's realistic expectations, do you think 7 or 8 wins, or what exactly is your expectation of Billy Napier, and what do you like from what you've seen from what he's done so far?
You know what? That's a fantastic question. I'm glad you mentioned it. I honestly have no expectations going into it.
Okay.
I say that to say that, you know, I'm really excited for Billy Napier. I really respect him as, you know, a coach and as someone to lead us into, you know, rebuilding our culture, rebuilding our organization, and, you know, helping on the recruiting front. And I think that's really important. And what we were lacking in the past few years is that. So I'm really excited to see him come in and, you know, work with what we have in place, and then also, you know, continuing to build the organization forward.
All right. Well, Ashley, I saw that. Are you really a Steelers fan? Is that the team that you've adopted?
It is. So for those that aren't aware, which I'm sure is a lot of people listening in right now, I have born and raised in Florida, born and raised in Pensacola. I was just been a diehard college football fan all my life and have never really been into professional football. And the past, honestly, several years that I've been with my boyfriend, he has made me pick an NFL team to go for. So I finally gave in and said that I would do a professional team, not just from a fantasy sense. So I have picked the Steelers as my team of choice based on the qualifications of not the players, not the you know, current coach or anything like that, but more so of the organizational standpoint.
Okay.
So I really appreciate the character behind the organization, the history behind the organization, so that's what made me go for the Steelers.
That's a very logical answer than what some people would give as like, oh, I like this player, so they went there. That's a really good answer. Well, again,
I'm a Najee Harris fan. Najee Harris is fantastic. Mike Tomlin's awesome, so that was just an added benefit.
Yeah, and I would be all the way with you unless I was a Bengals fan, which I am. So sorry, you can stay on that side.
I'll
be on the Bengals side. Well, Ashley, thank you so much for the time. I learned a lot as far as how you handle things, and obviously we're in an interesting place with name, image, and likeness. So you. Take care, and again, thank you so much for joining.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much.